And form a line in the back. No shoving, please, no pushing. Form a line in the back, you'll all get a seat. Take it easy. Stop shoving.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
No shoving, stop it.
Whatever.
Take a seat, we'll start the show in a second. My God, cushy. Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
That's correct. Thank you very much. Welcome to the program today. How are you? Great. Fantastic. We have a great guest coming on later on in the program. It will delight you to no end. But for now, you stuck with me. This is the part of the show where you sit down, shut up, and I talk incessantly about things that also bother you, but you don't have a talk show. So this is how we do this. This is how we do it, I think. Yesterday, Mark Zuckerberg, sounds like he owns the deli down the street. Have you been to Zuckerberg's? Yeah, the corned beef, it's fantastic. This guy, I don't know how he does it. He slices the corned beef so thin, it's fantastic. He does it, I don't know how he does it. Zuckerberg is amazing. But no, he's a creator, owner, founder, and chief bottle washer at Facebook. Never heard of Facebook? What mountain have you not been living on? Facebook is, next to Amazon, probably the largest commodity of business one can think of. Sure, there's General Electric and General Dynamics and General Mills and all these generals, but Facebook and Amazon, don't mess with them. They're bigger than you are. They know more than you do. Amazon knows how to run a business better than you ever could. Facebook, we don't even know what the hell it is still. I mean, we thought it was a place we could just open up a page and chat with friends. No, it's bigger than that. It rules the universe. They have Facebook in other galaxies that they're running, I'm sure, that we don't know about. Anyway, FaceTime. If someone isn't careful, they will be facing time for a long time in prison, Donald. Anyway, I don't know how I got onto that. The point is that, as I told you, I don't go on Facebook anymore. I have taken a stance. I, through my life, have been a consumer, and when I find disdain, I stop consuming. I write emails, I write letters, nobody writes letters anymore, I send emails to companies telling them my displeasure with their service, and I say I am no longer using their service, and I do not. I stick by that as well. If we don't do that, then companies get away with a quote-unquote murder. Air quotes. And I think that's important. I think that's what this is all about. That's what democracy is about. If you don't, you know, it's not laws and things. It's the public that says, no, I'm not putting up with that. So I'm not buying from you anymore. That's how companies change. Anyway, so I do that. I'm annoying. A lot of companies know my name because I do that. But hey, you know, whatever. So the Facebook thing, look here. So Zuckerberg faces members of a committee up on Capitol Hill. Up on Capitol Hill sounds like a country western song. I went up on Capitol Hill. I lost my wife and my dog on the Capitol Hill. I found her, she's with another man on Capitol Hill. So Zuckerberg actually puts a suit on. I thought he'd just wear his best t-shirt, but he actually put on a shirt and tie. Zuck, I didn't know you had it. Nice, Zuck. You look like almost like an adult. You looked really close to what an adult looks like. Not quite. But you almost look like an adult. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Anyway. So Zuckerberg is not wearing a t-shirt. He's actually wearing a jacket and tie and wow, huh?
What are you wearing?
What are you wearing, Mark? What the hell are you wearing?
What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing?
What the hell is that, Mark?
What are you wearing today?
You should have seen Zuckerberg. He's wearing a suit, but he's corned beef. I love it. So he's answering questions from the committee members, all of whom appear to be over 80 years old. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Zuckerberg is giving technical business answers, and the committee's saying to themselves, they're just, you know, Zuckerberg says, there are settings, there are privacy settings, and they are meant for the, you can set the privacy setting, and the committee's going,
they didn't know that.
Mr. Zuckerberg, what about the distribution of personal information? Well, we've been a little bit lax on that. We're working on it. The information is outlined in the article beneath the disclaimer on which the Privacy Act, which we have prided ourselves on, is strictly enforced. And the committee says,
whatever.
They don't know what the hell he's talking about. This only goes to show how in today's society, you better get some people on Capitol Hill who are a little bit younger than 80 years old. Especially to be on that particular committee. You know, why? These people, they still have flip phones. They don't know what the hell's going on. What are they doing there asking Zuckerberg questions? It's futile. Get some 25-year-old people in there, and now you got yourself a little bit of a thing going on now, huh? Here's the deal. Let's be honest. Come closer to the speaker. Let's be honest. Why do we go onto Facebook? What's our purpose? We connect with people. It makes us feel like we're socially acceptable. Like we are not alone in this ugly, horrible, angry world. That we have people that we can connect with whom we may not even know. But yet we have our circle of intimacy in a social sense. That's why we do it. Because we have psychological problems. We have psychological and sociological problems. And here's a place we can go to feel like we're part of a community. Our own community. People love me. People care about looking at the spaghetti dinner that I had last night. People care about everything that goes on in my mind that I can spill onto a page. People actually care about me. And when it's my birthday, hundreds of people wish me well. I don't know more than half of them, or many of them at all, but yet they are acknowledging something about me. That's why we do it. Let's be honest. Let's not fool around with this. We do it because we're socially accepted accordingly. Zuckerberg says, that there are privacy settings. So in other words, and I think we're somewhat familiar with it, if, you know, again, unless you're 80 years old, but there are privacy settings, in which case, though, not everybody can be part of your group. What you do, you cannot see publicly. Here's the problem with all of this, is that you are being constantly bombarded with, your information's going out, so that you can be bombarded with ads that would make you buy stuff. But you're also profiled for surveys, for businesses. And businesses can buy in and participate in the information that comes from your activities on Facebook. It's like the Alexa thing. Everything that you type in there, or according to Alexa, everything that you say to her goes on record. It is kept on record. The Alexa app is actually on your smartphone, and it lists every question that you asked and every response that you got. So if you're a serial killer, I wouldn't ask Alexa where you can get adhesive tape that sticks to faces. That might be a telling problem. Or Alexa, tell me a place where I can find young school children who don't necessarily want to go right home. I mean, it's you can't say that stuff. There's a record of it, both on Facebook, and they may deny it, but it's there. And you know it's there. And you may say to yourself, I don't care, I have nothing to hide. I think you probably should have something to hide. I know most of you. You do have things to hide, and you should be careful about them. Nobody wants all their information spilled out all over the place. Nobody wants their guts thrown onto the floor. So, there are probably agreements when you sign in for Facebook that you allow Facebook to distribute your information. Yeah. And if you don't, then you can't have your Facebook page. It's a disclaimer that I think will be actually a little bit more legally buffed up as a result of all of this. This is unfortunately where we're at. Now you've been hooked. Now you've been hooked. Because now if they take Facebook away from you, or you don't have the ability to spill your guts to your quote-unquote friends, then you will feel that something is lacking, that there's an empty space. Now something's been taken away from me. But what is actually being taken away from you every day of your life is your privacy. But you're doing this by choice. Just understand that when you use the Alexa thing, or when you use the Siri thing, or whether you use the Facebook thing, or whether you use the tweeting thing, or the Instagram thing, or the clean out my pants thing, that's not a real thing. I just made that up just to see if you were listening, and you are. You are giving up information. Just understand that. And that information will be used against you. And someday when people are able to hack into all this stuff, which they can really do now, it's just so much to hack into, where do I go next? Who do I hack first? And if it's not our country and our businesses that are hacking into your stuff for information, now it's foreign entities hacking into your stuff. All this happens. There's no argument here. It's a true thing. So what's my message to you? Who cares? Who am I? I'm just like you. I didn't say I liked you. I said I'm just like you. I didn't say I just like you. I said I'm just like you. There's a great distinction. All I'm saying is second guess. Go to the Facebook thing and make sure you understand what's going on there. And take a look at all that information that you're spilling out. All your angers, all your frustrations, all your wants, your needs, your talk about trips and where you've been. Start noticing the stuff around the page, and you will understand that your information and your usage on these pages These communications are being used against you to sell you things. That would be the softest deal. But it's also being accrued by things that you don't see in order to learn about your tendencies, your likes, your dislikes, your phobias, your problems, your angers, your personality, where you live, who your friends are, your contacts, your birth date, your gender, all that, your religion, your beliefs. It's all being collected. It's all there for the taking. Is there such a thing anymore as a private conversation? Your emails. You think that's private? I don't think so. Your text, your messages, you think they're private? No, they're not at all. Just think about that. Don't be naive. Just because you haven't been handpicked to have your identity stolen or your information gathered, first of all, you may have been, but you wouldn't even know it. I'm still paranoid about something. I'm not 80 years old, but I'm paranoid about something still. And that's giving out my bank information to vendors, where they bill me on a monthly basis and take money out of my checking account. Now, I don't mind if you bill me off of a credit card, because I get a list of credit card stuff, and I can refute that with the credit card company. But to give a vendor your checking account information, where monies can be drawn out to pay for things without your knowledge until after it's happened from your checking account, that's where I draw my line. See this pencil I've driven? There's a line drawn. That's where I draw that line. Yes, I still pay my bills through the mail. I'm the one. Anyway, how do you feel about this? You can contact me, what you think would be private, but is actually public, would be ronvandamshow@gmail.com. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. There you can communicate to me. The fact that I would communicate back would be a nil proposition, and in which case it would be communicating with me, but takes two to with. So if you're interested in being a guest on the show, or you have a topic that you wish me to lampoon, I don't know what the hell that word means. I've heard of it. I've used it, but I don't know what I mean. Or what it means. I don't know what I mean. That makes sense. I really don't know what I mean, to be honest with you. Freudian slip? I wear them under my pants. Sure. All right, that's enough. That's enough. You know, there are rules and regulations. And even, you know, for you to listen to this program, you're giving up your rights. There's no question about it. And your sanity, which is actually more the case. So please listen to this disclaimer and then sign below if you agree to it.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home. Some listeners may experience nausea or vomiting while listening to this show. Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program. The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux. Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker and should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time. The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day, but even then. Please refrain from loud conversation as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program. Your enjoyment of the program may vary. It may vary greatly. Please enjoy the show.
Okay, now check the box beneath that. Go on, check the box. Check the damn box, will ya? Great, okay. Are you having a party? Summer months are coming up. You might be hosting a party. You're not capable of doing it yourself. I know you. You can't do it. You need help.
Do you throw boring parties? Do your guests stand about with tepid drinks in their hands, vapidly striving for anything interesting to say to anyone? Do they glance at their watches around 9 p.m. and say, "Oh, look at the time"? Your parties need something, and you know it. Your parties need me. Thompson St. Thomas Fancy Bastard. For a gentlemanly, prearranged fee, I will arrive fashionably late to your party, bringing with me that dash of irresistible British charm and a soupçon of the joie de vivre of the French. Soon I'll have your guests regaled with stories of my vacation villa in Saint-Tropez, my zany youthful adventures in boys' school, and that one time I met the prince. Quite a story. For an extra fee, I could be the cheeky one, telling blue jokes and winking roguishly at all the girls. Got a piano? I've got a repertoire. Because what English gent can't just sit down at the Ivories and knock out everything from a raucous pub tune to a bit of Gershwin? I know I can. Because I'm Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. And I'll see you at your next party. What time shall I arrive?
See, we ran that because on Facebook you were talking about having a party. See what happens? You see how that's how that works. Even I knew that. And I'm not even your Facebook friend in any sense of the word. I don't even know when your birthday is. How about that? Here's the lamest thing of all. It's like buying a cheap birthday card. You're friends with somebody on Facebook, and I use that term friends extremely loosely, but that's the term that they use. And it says, congratulate Bobby. It's his birthday today. He's been your friend for 6 years. Well, not really. Not at all. I haven't talked to him in 6 years. So, okay, your definition of friend is like blowing my mind. But anyway, so you decide to click on that, and you're sending Bobby a birthday wish. And here's what you type in. Happy birthday. Whoa, thank you for that greeting. That is from the heart. Thank you so much for saying, quote, happy birthday. Could you be more original? Could you have taken more time? No, you couldn't. Because it's to the point. And I appreciate that. I don't need any flowery stuff about how great a person I am. You got to the point. You got to the meat of the matter by saying, it's my birthday. So what did you say? Happy birthday. Wow. That is direct. And I need that. I need a direct blow like that. Thank you so much. Your feelings, your time, your depthness with my personality is so appreciated. Thank you for saying happy birthday. You and the other 100 people that took the time to type in two words. Thank you. You know what? Better you didn't do anything. Better you didn't do anything, because it's the thought that counts and you put no thought into it whatsoever. Thank you for touching the keys that spelled out happy birthday without even an exclamation point. Nothing. Nothing. Some people will give it more feeling by putting in an exclamation point or two or three. There's some feeling. Now you've actually given me some feeling and emotion. Okay. I'm not 80 years old, I swear. But I sound like it. Here's something else I don't understand. There's money, there's cash, which not many people use anymore at all, in the least. But now there's like internet money. What the hell are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about? There's internet money. What are you talking about? So I had to check it out. So let's find out. Right after this, we'll talk to a person about internet money. What? I don't even know what I'm talking about.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
No, I don't. Not really. You don't listen enough. I don't.
Ron, how are you?
I'm great. Jason Oxman joins us now. He is the CEO of the Electronic Transactions Association. Nice title. hey, I'm confused about money, as we all are, and I guess there are changes in the ways that we are going to be making payments to various things.
So, Ron, you're right about that. We all know that we've upgraded our security of our plastic credit cards mm-hmm. from magnetic stripes to chips over the last couple of years. The next big change that we're going to see is the widespread deployment of what we call contactless. You know it as mobile payments.
Yep.
But you've also seen, hopefully while you were watching the Olympics, a lot of Visa commercials about people tapping their cards. Contactless payments, where you tap your phone or your watch or even a credit card with wireless capability, is the next new wave, and we're going to see that rolling out this year.
Oh, boy. You know, I'm sure you're aware that the general public is somewhat queasy about using their mobile device to make purchases. They do it. But with all the reports of data breaches and things like that, and mobile networks and public Wi-Fi, there's an added layer of concern.
You're absolutely right about that. People are very concerned about their data being protected. And the good news is, when we look at these new technologies like mobile payments, mm-hmm. they're even more secure than plastic cards. And,
really?
And you're right, not a lot of people are aware of that fact. But the new contactless technologies that we're deploying, the infrastructure that we're putting out there in stores, is actually more secure than those plastic cards, so it is going to do a lot to help protect that data.
Okay. What would stop somebody from walking by your location when you're making one of these transactions by tapping, for them to tap or them to be within a certain proximity of your transaction and picking that up and information about that?
That's a very important question, and the answer is yes, the technology will prevent that from happening. Uh-huh. It uses something called tokenization, uh-huh. which means when you tap your phone or use a mobile payment, you're actually not transmitting your actual account number, unlike when you use your plastic card where your actual account number is transmitted. So tokenization is a cryptographic reference to your account number, but it's not your actual account number. So even if somebody were to intercept that transmission, they get a jumbled mass of letters and numbers that's useless to them, and there's nothing to intercept.
Very cool. Intelligent, too. this is, you know, in my opinion, this is something that has to almost wait out a generation. The baby boomers are now seniors, and they're a cash and credit card kind of people. But as you get more progressive in the later generations, this is something that is being accepted with open arms, and they're waiting for this.
It's interesting. We just did a survey a few weeks ago where we asked that very question of different mm-hmm. generations, their willingness to use mobile payments. Mm-hmm. Not surprisingly, the group that said they were most willing
sure.
was millennials. 75% of them said that they would use mobile payments, but as you noted, baby boomers, only 41% of them said they were willing to use it. I think that's true about technology in our lives generally. Younger generations are more willing to try something new, but the good news is I think eventually everyone will get accustomed to it.
Do you think there's a possibility that in the near future that your mobile device will become your main computer and your main station for everything that you do electronically?
I do, and I think it's interesting if you think back to all of the things that we do with our mobile devices that we used to do with other things.
Yeah.
Nobody buys CDs or records anymore. They listen to their music on
right.
their phones. We use our phones as our GPS
right.
to find our way around town.
Mm-hmm.
We use our phones for email and for texting, and we watch videos on them,
mm-hmm.
and I think eventually we will be paying on those devices almost universally as well. So much as those devices have replaced other things
mm-hmm.
that we don't do anymore. You know, nobody buys standalone digital cameras anymore. They just use their
That's
phone
true.
As their camera.
Yeah.
I think we'll be doing payments on there as well.
I think you're right. I think everything, we control our lights and our security cameras and our, just everything. You're absolutely right. That's where it's going. It's fascinating stuff. And it's fascinating because it is going to be intertwined with our lifestyles, like it or not. That's where it's going. And great. How do we get more information about this?
We have a great website with lots of information about payments technology on the web. It's transactiontrends.com. ETA.com, transactiontrends.com. A lot of good updated information from ETA about changes in payment technology.
Perfect. And, of course, businesses will have to jump on board because that's where it's going and that's where they jump. Thank you so much for your time today, Jason. It's been fascinating.
Thanks, Ron, for the opportunity to be with you.
Great. Take care. Bye-bye. It was an opportunity, Jason, one that you should cherish for the rest of your life. As I have with myself. Ladies and gentlemen, I might have time for today, but I'll be back again tomorrow with another program. Until then, I wish you peace.